Now, do you have in maybe the back of a cupboard or out in a shed or maybe in an old suitcase under the bed, old clothes from, well, maybe your parents or your grandparents? It could be military uniforms, which is an apt thing to think about on the 11th of November. Maybe it's a wedding dress that's like a family heirloom. If you do, I reckon you will probably empathise because you'll understand that sometimes you just have such a great sentimental attachment to clothes from years gone by. But perhaps too, you find if you happen to lift the lid on that suitcase that's been under the bed for a few decades and thought, oh, look how it's starting to deteriorate and get stained and fade and what to do, like truly what to do. Well, my next guest may be able to help you. She may. I don't want to put her on the spot. This is her first time on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. But she's someone who feels your pain because Freya Harrington has always loved fashion. She's been a volunteer at TMAG, and if you don't know what on earth I'm talking about, I refer to the Tasmania Museum and Art Gallery for numerous years, even though she looks far too young to have done that for so many years. And she has a particular interest in conservation of clothing from the ages. What a valuable role you offer to our community. Welcome, Freya. It's lovely that you've come in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, where are you at in terms of managing to take this great and abiding love of fashion through the ages? Have you been able to sort of parlay that into a career for yourself?
Yes, I have. Most recently, actually, I've been very lucky after my master's degree to find a position part-time up in North Hobart at the Catholic Archdiocese of Hobart Archives. And they actually have a wonderful vestment collection sort of stretching from the mid-1800s to modern day, which is really quite significant. And so that's been wonderful.
Are those vestments, and you'll have to help me maybe describe, because I have a vague idea in my mind, but if you're not familiar with what a vestment actually is, what is it?
So it's clothing that is especially worn by clergy, and there's sort of various formats, and it in itself has had sort of fashion changes over the sort of centuries, which in itself is really interesting. But yeah, I guess the main sort of ones are a chasuble and a cope, which is sort of a long, relatively flat overgarment, which often has lovely embroidery and things on the front and back.
And the vestments that you get to look at most days when you're there at work, are they on public display or are they hidden away under lock and key?
Well, yes, they are securely kind of kept at the archives. They have been on display in the past. Many of them featured in a exhibition at TMAG, actually, in the early 2000s, which was on Augustus Welby Northmore Pugin. So some of them were designed by Pugin. But, yeah, at the moment we don't have a museum as such for the archives, but we're sort of working on having more of an online presence and got our own Facebook page recently and that sort of thing. So you'll be able to see bits and pieces that way.
Do you have a favourite vestment?
I do, actually. It's this beautiful chasuble worn by one of our past archbishops, Archbishop Murphy, and it's a beautiful deep sort of purple colour, and it's got some velvet down the front and this amazing hand embroidery of like crossed nails and passion fruit flowers and things. It's really very spectacular.
Gosh, that sounds so unusual.
It's really, really gorgeous.
Well, I began our conversation, Freya, by sort of thinking about how, you know, inevitably, you know, you can't keep everything. I can only hear that. But from someone who loves sort of period pieces, I sort of share your passion in that regard. There does sort of come a point where you just have to be practical. You just literally can't keep everything. But how do you keep? What would be your tips for home storage if someone perhaps has a military uniform or I described a, you know, the sort of special items of clothing that people do tend to keep in families?
Yeah, no, I think it's wonderful when people do decide to keep things, or if they think that maybe it's something that they might like to donate to a museum or a local place that keeps that kind of things. That's also something that people can think about. But if you're keeping things at home, definitely a box under the bed is probably not the greatest technique. But look, we've all sort of been there and found things sometimes like that we didn't know were around. But textiles, really the best thing to do is try and keep them out of areas that are damp. They don't like damp. Most things, if it's in a pretty relatively good condition, you can hang them up. But if you make a like a sort of padded coat hanger with some sort of Dacron, that's an ideal thing to do. And keep them away from light. Obviously, that will fade them really quickly. And what textiles really like is they don't like change too much. They like a sort of steady environment. So you can put them, you know, in a cupboard that doesn't get opened too much, or in the centre of your house kind of thing, where the temperature doesn't fluctuate too much. They will be happy. And yeah, somewhere dry and cool. Dry and cool, but not humid. It's a good choice.
Well, we're pretty lucky, aren't we?
In Tasmania, certainly.
Yeah.
I think that has actually contributed to how many things can still be found in Tasmania, that we have that kind of environment, which whereas if you're in Queensland, things might not have survived just naturally.
Yes. Mm. If you've just joined me, it's just coming up to 19 minutes past two on ABC Radio Hobart, ABC Northern Tasmania. Jane Longhurst here presenting your afternoon today. And my guest is Freya Harrington from Tasmanian Fashion History, which, as I understand, I mean, it sounds incredibly important, doesn't it? Well, Freya's just got her master's looking at the, sort of the conservation of clothing and textiles, I would imagine. So I'm keen to sort of find out, you've got a blog in the offing as well. Has that actually launched?
Not quite yet. So at the moment, we're still just on Instagram and Facebook. But I am working on a sort of dedicated website, which will, yeah, I'll be able to post longer sort of blogs about things. And yes, I'm almost finished. I've got one unit left to go on my Masters of Cultural Materials Conservation, which is at the University of Melbourne, which has been really good.
Well, before I find out a little bit more about Tasmanian fashion history per se, you, back to sort of that, was it a cope?
Yes.
The one with the nails and the passion fruit flowers. You mentioned velvet and sort of obviously hand-embroidered features. When you've got a mixture of textures and fabrics, does that make the conservation challenge, I would imagine, even more challenging?
It might do if it was in a state that sort of required actual conservation treatment. But in terms of just making sure, like a sort of preventive conservation, making sure that it's sort of fine as it is, not so much. It can just make sure that the storage environment is safe for the fabrics and that kind of thing, and they will all relatively happily live together.
I happen to not have a vestment just casually lying at home, I said to add. But I was just intrigued just because, you know, when you look at sort of examples of old lace, for example,
yeah.
or maybe a woolen suit, you know, like a man's blazer or jacket or something, it's often just those tiny little sort of deterioration, often through little silverfish or similar.
Yes. It just,
are you an expert on those little mites?
I'm not an expert per se, but yes, I am very aware that yes, pests in all sorts of forms are a bit of a problem for textiles collections, and especially if you're keeping things at home, it's well worth getting things out every now and again and just checking that there's no clothes moths and that kind of thing, because they do tend to like, especially things that are made out of protein like wool and silk and that kind of thing, and they will leave little nibbly holes in them, which is
heartbreaking.
Rather annoying.
Heartbreaking. So looking at Tasmanian fashion history, I don't know whether you're Tasmanian by birth.
Yeah.
Is there something about the fact that it's Tasmanian fashion, or is it simply because there's a sort of a story about our social history that you personally find fascinating? I mean, or do you find simply all historical fashion items pretty intriguing?
Look, I think it's all of the above, to be honest.
You can tick all those boxes.
Yeah. I've just always been interested in fashion and design and those sorts of things. And I've always loved museums since I was a young girl. But also relatively recently, I sort of discovered through talking to my grandparents and things that one of my ancestors actually came to Tasmania on the Calcutta in 1804 on the first boat from Ireland. So, yeah, I guess that kind of made me feel much more Tasmanian than I have before, though I've always kind of been attached to the island. And I guess combining that and my love of fashion and interest in conservation just kind of made sense to bring it all together.
Is there a particular item in your own personal collection that, you know, either you wear or perhaps only on special occasions, or that you really treasure and are delighted to have?
I guess I don't feel like a big pull to collect things personally. I do, like, if I happen to come across something that's, you know, for sale online and it's got a particular sort of Tasmanian twist to it, then I will purchase it and keep it as part of my sort of collection. But I've got two sort of wardrobes at home. One is the sort of collection wardrobe, and I certainly wouldn't wear anything from that. That's sort of kept on petticoat hangers and
padded coat hangers.
Whereas my regular wardrobe is a bit more, you know, a bit of a mess, as most people's wardrobes probably are. I guess one of the things that I have found that is a favourite is this beautiful sort of late 1950s, early 1960s, very typical kind of big, fluffy 50-shaped dress that was made by the Tasmanian Fashion House, which is one of a really rare labels that actually exists that I've discovered so
far. What's the name of that house?
Yeah. Oh, it's called the Tasmanian Fashion
House. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
TFH, yeah. I managed to find three things so far that have that label.
Proof of
Which provenance. Is quite rare, and a lot of people made things and they didn't put their own labels in and that kind of things, which makes the provenance slightly more difficult. And it has a wonderful kind of very spring looking pattern of flowers, and it's the print is flocked, which means that it's kind of fluffy. Yeah, it's really nice.
And a pioneer of polar fleece, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. Tasmanian Fashion House. I wonder if someone is listening and go, oh, I've got some Tasmanian Fashion House. I bet you would like to see it. Freya Harrington would be very keen to know. If you do have such an item, 0438 922 936 is how you can join the conversation. My guest, Freya Harrington from Tasmanian Fashion History. I must admit, I'm hoping to speak in a couple of weekends' time with Lois Island from the Bowman General Store in Whitemark, Flinders Island, because I had a little visit there back in the day, like I think I'm talking in the 1990s, and noticed that they had some boxes of women's bathers.
Oh, great.
That would have been from maybe the 50s, early 60s.
Yep.
And it's just stunning to see bathers that are, you know, made from like material as opposed to sort of like a lycra finish. This is sort of, do you know what I mean? And they've got boned corsetry or that lovely sort of sherd feature. Fantastic. Mm. Do you kind of find all aspects of fashion fascinating?
I have to admit that I do.
I should jolly well hope so.
Everything from the sort of, design to the way that they are a really interesting and quite unique pieces of cultural, sort of social and material history. Yeah, they kind of bridge quite a few, aspects of the cultural material thing. And they're quite special because they have such a close intimate relationship with people's bodies. Mm. And that in itself often leaves behind little clues that you can pick up on if you're sort of used to looking at things that, oh, this was worn quite often, so maybe it was a favourite dress, or this has been altered over time, so maybe it was worn for subsequent generations and that kind of thing, which is, to me, just fascinating.
Well, you're the perfect person, I think, Freya Harrington, to launch a blog that honours Tasmania's fashion history. Best of luck with your last unit of your MA. I imagine, sadly, that's all online.
For that has been the problem, actually, that it's an internship, so I need to travel to the mainland to do it, which hasn't been possible in the past sort of 12 months or so. But look, next year, fingers crossed, we'll be good.
The future is yours. The world is your oyster. Freya Harrington, lovely to meet you, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the wireless very, very soon.
Thank you very much.